Hello, this is Julie Hedlund from ICANN. I'm sorry, I just realized that I was on mute. I apologize for that. And thank you very much, Glenn, for your assistance. Welcome to everyone. Thank you so much for joining this webinar on display and usage of internationalized registration data. I just have a few notes that I would like to make before we begin the call and before I turn the call over to our presenter from ICANN, Dave Piscitello. First of all, please may I ask you to place your phones on mute, and that is to ensure that we don't have background noise during the call. You may press star 6 on your phone to go on to mute. Also, I would like to let you know that we will not be doing a roll call of attendees on this call. However, the names are all being collected and will be included for transcription purposes. also, please note that as for logistics, what we would like to do to conduct this call is to have Dave run the presentation, and then if I may ask all of you to hold your questions until he's completed the presentation. And then please, if you have a question, we ask you kindly to state your name when you are asking your question. And if there are many people who would like to ask a question at once, we may start a queue of names. That will make it simpler to ensure that everybody has a chance to ask a question. Are there any questions before I introduce Dave? Thank you very much. Dave, if you are ready, we would be happy to begin the presentation.
Well, thank you very much. It's sort of very indicative of how important and how far-reaching this subject matter is that we have participants from China and Malaysia and Sri Lanka, Cyprus, and Iowa. What I'd like to do is just quickly give you an overview of what we're going to cover today and then go directly into the presentation. The presentation is on the display and usage of internationalized registration data, and what we are particularly curious to study is how the use of characters from local scripts will affect Internet user experiences with respect to not only internationalized domain names, the display and usage of registration data. We're particularly concerned about what users may encounter when they access registration data using either command line tools for who is accessing port 43 or similar applications, or using web applications. Some of the things that we are concerned about are the issues that are related to supporting these characters that registrars, registries, and other parties may encounter. When we finish discussing sort of the problem and issue space, one of the things that I'd like to share with you is some of the work that some ESSAC members and ICANN staff have done in terms of understanding how certain of these collect and display registration data using local scripts today. And then we'd like to take a look at some standards that might be applicable for moving forward in terms of being able to support local languages and scripts in both Whois and future iterations of a Whois-like service. So let's begin. For everyone's benefit, the reference document can be found at the URL currently displayed on slide 2. The document is titled Display and Usage of Internationalized Registration Data. I hope it's relatively easy to access and relatively easy to read. And I'm happy to share my email address with you if you are interested in having a private conversation or asking follow-on questions. I or some other members of ESSAC or staff would be happy to continue to talk with you about this. I like to do presentations in sort of a flow of describing the problem space, studying the anticipated and unanticipated consequences of the problem, and then looking at or considering some of the possible solutions. So let's begin with the problem space. And the problem space is actually simply stated. Today, Internet applications accommodate a very, very broad audience. And that audience is accustomed to using characters in local languages and scripts in many of the applications they use today. Most of us have encountered a script and a language that we are not familiar with if we've done any meaningful browsing or searching on the Internet today. We're accustomed to and increasingly using translations of many of the documents that we publish. Especially at ICANN, we're very interested in having such translations because we have such a broad global audience. Who is yet another Internet application. So it logically follows that Who Is has to accommodate that global audience, and in order to do so, ought to be able to deliver information and accept submissions of information using local characters or characters from local scripts. It's very, very important to understand at the outset that this is not limited to internationalized domain names. And in fact, the issues that we're discussing actually existed before we began studying IDN, and will, and actually are relevant to a much broader space than merely IDN. The IDN standards and guidelines define how domain names are composed and displayed. But the Who Is applications and web developers can only apply these for submission and display of domain names. So the Unicode labels or U labels and the ASCII labels or the labels that are represented in the letter, digit, hyphen subset of ASCII that are typically typed with an XN hyphen hyphen and then some gibberish that most people can't read, are specifically translations and representations that relate only to the domain name. If you go and you look at the IDN standards and you also look at standards for Who Is, you'll find that there are no specific standards or guidelines that define how domain registration data are composed and displayed. By domain registration data, I and SAC mean information such as the sponsoring registrar, contact information, and DNS configuration data. I'm going to pause here for a moment because it seems that a great many people don't have sound, don't have audio. I see one, two, three. I see at least five.
Dave, I think that's, this is Julie. I think that it may be that they have not dialed into the teleconference. I'm not sure how we can get the teleconference information to them.
Type it in the chat.
In the chat, because there would be different dial-in numbers.
Oh, dear.
Glenn, do you have any suggestions?
Could they send an email to glenn@ican.org, and I'll send them the dial-in details and tell me where they're from?
Thank you very much. Let me send that note to the chat room on Adobe Connect. Thank you. Sorry, Dave.
That's okay.
In the meantime, Dave, did you want to continue, and I'll try to do that contemporaneously?
I guess in the interest of attending to the larger portion of the audience, we have 44 people, and hopefully the other handful can catch up. If not, as I said, I'm happy to just speak with people individually offline and discuss the subject. So let's continue on to slide five. In some respects, when I call this a problem space, that might be a misnomer because, in fact, there is an evolution in the Internet, and almost everything that we do breaks ground on merely a daily basis. The Internet is and will continue to be a disruptive technology for many, many years. And it is now that we can start to think about a global internet where ASCII is not the dominant character set, and English is not the sole language that people will use everywhere in the web. And we have to acknowledge that, and we have to acknowledge that need to satisfy other other cultures and other languages is very, very important for the continued growth and success of the internet. So just as the internationalized domain name problem is many years old and still being addressed, internationalized registration data is not new and will have to be addressed. Unfortunately, it's not going to be addressed in what technology people call a flag day, where on October 12, 2012, everyone will be able to use every language and script from every, or characters from every script. But it will be a gradual one. And during the interim, the user experience with WHOIS will vary, just as it varies with other internet applications. Why are we going forward instead of back? Someone is competing with me for the presentation here.
That's very odd, Dave. I haven't been touching it, I promise you. This is Julie. It seems to be going now.
Okay. Let's see if we're caught up. I feel like my session's being hijacked. Okay. Someone actually has control of the presentation at the moment and is scrolling through, and I don't have control of the presentation, so I'm not certain how we got in this state, but...
Yeah, Dave, this is Julie. I'm very confused as well because only you and I are supposed to have control of the presentation, so and all others are simply participants, so I'm not sure I understand how someone could be moving this. For anyone who happens to be on the phone, if you are trying to move the arrows left or right on the presentation, please do that.
Well, it's run away at the moment. So.
Very strange.
Okay, we're at the questions.
Can you see if you can send it back, Dave?
I'm attempting to do that now.
Okay, thank you.
It doesn't seem to be responding to any clicks that I have.
Let me try to see if I can do it.
Yeah.
It's not responding to me either. Okay. And I'm the host, so that's very odd. Dave, what I could suggest is I can, as the host, stop sharing and then reshare.
Okay, why don't you do
that?
And we'll see if that'll get us where we want to be.
Technical difficulties. Okay, this is Julie. It should be coming up shortly. And I'm really very sorry for this, everyone. I cannot explain why it would have done this. And at any rate, let's hope we can get back into this pretty quickly. Okay, can everybody, Dave, can you see it on the screen? If you can see it, I think everybody will be able to.
It's still loading.
Okay. It's a little faster, obviously, from my computer.
Okay, I think we...
Now see if you can manipulate it.
All right, I am on slide 2 at this point.
Yes.
Now 3.
Seems to be moving normally.
It looks like we have regained control of the ship. So. Okay, we're proceeding from slide 6. Pardon the technology problem.
Excuse me.
One of the things that you will encounter when you are looking at web pages today is that the who is treatment of IDN labels, for example, will vary, and the user experience will vary depending on the web the web portal that the user makes use of, the version of the browser, the who is provider, whether it's a registrar, a registry, or a third party who provides who is. And Internet users might be able to submit the ASCII labels or the Unicode labels to query whois over port 43 using command line programs or a Windows or other whois client application. They might be able to use either A labels or U labels to, as an input to a web form where you can query whois and domain name registration. And the whois operators might display the domain names in A label in, or in characters from local scripts used by the registrant. In addition to that, other forms or other information that's displayed on web or returned using a port 43 application may be not only returning A labels or U labels, but may be returning non-ASCII characters. Similarly, the recognizable display of registration data will also be application dependent. If you are using a Windows 95 version of a whois command line client, it's very possible that that command line is incapable of, and Windows 95 is incapable of displaying characters from the full set of languages and scripts that are currently supported in a more recent version of Windows. And it's also possible that that various installations of operating systems will not actually install all languages and scripts. So what you actually see has a lot to do with what is provided by the service provider who is, and what is also present and resident in the machine that you are actually attempting to do who is from. It's very important to understand that registrars and third-party whois providers may choose encodings that best represent the language and the scripts of the domain registration data and that best represent the language and scripts of the parties that are using that data. Obviously, if I am operating a browser for people in France, and my registry expects that the predominant number of people that use the registration service speak French, it may be that they will choose to have a French page as well, and perhaps an English page as well. They may accept characters from an extended ASCII character set that supports accents and other characters that are present in in the French language. Similarly, for people who use languages that employ Chinese, Korean, Russian, or other characters that can't be represented in a simple ASCII 7 character set but need a fuller Unicode or ISO standard character set. On slide 8, I'm demonstrating to you a sample port 43 output from JPRS, from the .jp registry. And as you can see, one of the things I can do with the .jprs is I can signal a through my whois with a command flag minus h that I want to be able to query the whois at jprs.jp using Japanese characters for the second level label. If you notice that the domain information returned actually returns some information in Japanese and some information in English. I can also submit to JPRS and their whois service the A-label representation of the IDN and get the same information in both Japanese characters and English characters. If I go to .ru and look at the whois that's operated by nick.ru, I can actually enter a domain in the U-label representation or the A-label representation, and it will indicate that that label is available at the second level. So clearly, IDN levels are not the gating factors for people actually seeking to and wanting to use and submit characters in using characters from local languages and scripts. Moreover, it would be nice to have a complement where if I were comfortable using Cyrillic and I wanted to go to nick.ru and see an entirely Cyrillic-represented page and submit information, Cyrillic-represented information, it may be entirely appropriate for the RU registry to support such a portal. When SDAC studied this subject, we wanted to try to understand and we wanted to try to pose questions for the community that would frame the set of issues in various vertical sectors, so to speak. The first is user experience issues. And one of the first questions that we asked was, what features Internet users would find most beneficial in any application that binds registered domain names to registration data? This is going to be particularly important not only in the context of representing registration data, to people in a local language or in characters from a local language and script, but also being able to allow that information to be somewhat, can I say, portable, where someone who is not familiar with that local language to be able to derive some value out of registration data. And so we have to accommodate multiple needs in the whois service in order to provide the richness of the benefits that whois can offer to a fairly diverse community. So one question that we're going to ask the community to study, and I'll talk about what we will do subsequent to this presentation and at the end of the presentation, is, are there some general principles that registry operators and registrars could adopt to minimize a battle effect on registration data query services and to ensure some uniformity of information display? Now, it's very important that we have we acknowledge not only that people will eyeball or look at and type registration information, but that there is a significant amount of investment and need for automation, computer programs that will rely on the ability to examine information that's returned by whois providers and be able to formulate and act upon the data that the applications receive. And so if those applications today rely entirely on or assume entirely that every whois response is going to be in ASCII 7 and that the responses are essentially, quote, English, unquote, then we have to think about the impact of assuming some other baseline or some other constant in the representation of registration data. A second set of questions that we have to consider are the questions surrounding data reliability, accuracy, and some operational issues. And as I pointed out, you know, some applications that automate DNS and automate who is queries may be affected if we start to rely entirely on a different presumption than we have had to this point, and the presumption being that data returned by who is applications are always U.S. ASCII 7. And we need to understand what parties are going to be affected when registration data would return some or all non-U.S. ASCII characters in its output. So, for example, law enforcement, brand protection, people who perform analysis of and track down malicious actors, all use WHOIS extensively, in addition to other monitoring activities. And we don't want to put them in a situation where we require that they have to run around looking for whatever it was that the local language used when somebody submitted their WHOIS in order to be able to actually resolve an issue. That just introduces yet another efficiency into an already very, very inefficient and very slow process, certainly a process that is slower than the desired response time. One question that complements these two questions and that we will attempt to ask the community as we continue to study this issue is, do we have any experience? Can we actually know today and understand and anticipate today whether the use of non-ASCII characters has had an adverse or positive effect on domain registration data accuracy programs? Certainly, using non-ASCII characters today could cause someone who is frustrated to submit a WHOIS accuracy complaint to ICANN saying, this is not in U.S. ASCII, I can't read it, I can't use it, therefore I don't know whether it's false or incomplete. The third set of issues or questions to consider are related to standardization and to security. And, one of the things that ESSAC was considering when it started to think about this broader space of expanding beyond simply relying on U.S. ASCII 7 for registration data is what information and in what languages and scripts should be permitted when collecting and displaying registration data for a set of domain names. Is there a richer set of information that we might want to begin to collect? Do we want to collect not only one language, but both the local language submitted as well as a baseline language, as an example? We also want to understand whether sufficient submission and display practices exist for applications that bind registration or register domain names to information about registration data. And lastly, we would like the community to consider whether the maintenance and display of certain registration data be required in U.S. ASCII to ensure a common denominator for core information display. So as an example, if we decided as a community that we weren't going to impose any standards at all. However, what we would impose is that the sponsoring registrar information would be in U.S. ASCII 7 so that at least everyone would be able to look at the string that was a sponsoring registrar, go to the ICANN website, find the sponsoring registrar's contact information, and then go and query the sponsoring registrar directly through some abuse point of contact. That is one way that we might actually consider moving forward. It might not necessarily be perceived as the optimum one, but it's certainly one that would be on the table. In SAC 37, and again, I'd encourage you to read that because there are more examples and there's a great deal of background information and perspective that can't be represented in a very brief presentation. ESSAC asked the board to test all the service organizations and affected advisory committees to form a working group to study both the feasibility and suitability of introducing display and usage specifications that deal with internationalized registration data. We strongly recommended and encouraged representation from CCTLD operators for several reasons. Number one, this is an issue that clearly has already impacted them, and we can probably, in the ICANN community, learn from the existing experiences that CCTLD operators have had. And the second is that this issue, clearly affects a great many of those of those operators in a very, very intimate way. Within the context of the feasibility study, ESAC and staff have been thinking about the feasibility of having applications of query registration data incorporate some sort of standard functionality. By standard functionality, we think, for example, that we would, it might be possible for the community to agree to require applications to bind registered domains to registration data in the following ways. All applications would accept both A-label and U-label domain names as input, and they would return A-label and U-label domains as output. Perhaps there would be a value to having all such applications store contact information in some standard data schema represented using XML. It may be important, or it may be worth considering retaining Unicode encoding of local characters stored in contact information. And the list goes on. There are some very, very useful data queries that can be performed called record and key type data queries, and perhaps accepting those in Unicode would be valuable. Returning responses in Unicode would be valuable. Returning responses including a character word variance bundled within each registration data query would be valuable. So these are just examples of the kinds of things that are on the table and that ESAC would encourage the community to consider during and following the formation of the working group. That set of slides pretty much summarizes the SAC 37 content and recommendations. And the remainder of the presentation is more or less trying to provide those of you who have participated today with a sense of what staff and ESAC members are preparing for the ICANN-SOL meeting and how we hope the community will be able to move forward on the board's recommendation to form a multi-SO AC working group and study this matter more carefully. Over the past month or so, several staff and ESAC members have been studying current CCTLD WHOIS submission and display practices. With the help of some of the members of the policy department, I've contacted close to 20 CCTLDs and asked about their practices today, and I'll summarize them shortly. The other task that staff has been looking at, largely anecdotally because this is a community effort and we don't want to co-opt the process, but we want to be able to be informed if we're asked, is that we're looking at other conventions and standards for internationalizing contact information, and particularly the Universal Postal Union standards. And in acknowledgement and recognition of other ESAC work in the area of recommending a successor environment to WHOIS that would accommodate or embrace a broader, more general internet directory service, we have been looking at a richer data schema for domain registration records. In parallel to that activity, which is sort of largely techie work, there's been a significant amount of policy work because there's a lot of effort that's required to put in place a working group charter and implementation plan, and that charter and plan are prepared and ready for publication. The next portion of the presentation focuses on whether the maintenance and display of certain registration data be required in US ASCII to ensure a common denominator for core information display. This is one of the ESAC questions. What we have done thus far among staff and ESAC members is solicited current practices from 16 or so CCTLDs. I actually have a few more that have trickled in, and certainly if any of you are CCTLD operators on the call and you want to answer these four questions, I'd find that anecdotal response very valuable. I'm reporting in the aggregate. I'm not disclosing any individual operators' practices, but the aggregate is actually very useful. And the four questions are, does your registry allow users to register domain names using characters from local scripts? Does your registry collect and store registration data in US ASCII 7 in addition to the characters from the local scripts? Can users of the web interface choose the display language? In other words, is there a page where you can either pull down a local language or English, or are there separate pages for local language or English, or is there a flag that you can use in whois, similar to the .jp whois service, where they say whois minus h, and that means return both English and Japanese characters. And if so, what languages do you support? And obviously those two questions relate to both web interfaces and whois port 43. So the responses that we received thus far, 10 of 16 CCTLD registries allow users to register domain names using characters from local scripts. 10 of the CCTLDs support English or US ASCII 7. In fact, the responses either said English or US ASCII 7, and a local language script including Arabic, Chinese, German, Japanese, Lithuanian, Portuguese, Spanish, Swedish. So you can see that there's a fairly broad set of character sets that that are involved in even the 16 CCTLDs that we solicited and received responses from. All CCTLDs that we received responses from support whois port 43, and in in many of the port 43 services that are supported, there are character set dependencies that will affect whether the whois client allows the submission and appropriately displays the information that is returned over port 43. So in some cases, the CCTLD operator has indicated that in order for you to see to receive the local script and have it displayed in the fashion that you might recognize, your client must be able to support UTF-8 or UTF-16 or ISO 8859. For those of you who are not familiar with what happens if you don't support those things, you typically see this little open square that is a standard US ASCII representation for non-printable character. The second question that staff and ESSEC members are studying is, are there any general principles that we might actually find in the field today, in practice today, that we could adopt to minimize the Babel effect at this point, and begin thinking about a standard or baseline display and usage for whois. But one of the areas that we looked at in terms of looking at other conventions and standards is the Universal Postal Union standard formatting for international addresses. And these are addresses that are used to send mail from one country to another, and in particular from and between countries where the countries may not necessarily share a common language or script. So the standards summarized in two sentences as opposed to 10 pages. The addressee's address shall be written legibly in Roman letters and Arabic numerals. And then if other letters and figures are used in the country of destination, meaning if there is are characters from local languages and scripts in our nomenclature, then it shall be recommended that the address also be given in these letters and numerals. So the standard here is you must use you in terms of what we would apply to a whois environment is You must use and store US ASCII 7, but you are also able to or may optionally or choose to support a local script. So to see how that actually works in practice in mail, on slide 22, you see an excerpt from the UPU standard, and the standard is actually available at the hyperlink at the bottom of this page. We have, you know, on the left in Roman, you know, Roman letters and Arabic numerals, Mr. Omar Hussein, Post Office Box 111, Dubai, United Arab Emirates. And the same, on the same envelope, you would optionally and ideally put the Arabic translation so that, you know, someone who is processing this electronic mail in the United Arab Emirates and who is not familiar with with English and doesn't recognize Roman letters and he obviously recognizes Arab numerals, could process the mail. So the summary in under the in conclusion is I think a very, very interesting recommendation that we might want to consider in the working group that we'll begin in Seoul. Another element in this study is that ESSAC has been keen to have put on the table for quite some time is what information and in what language and scripts should be permitted when collecting and displaying registration data for a set of domain names. This is sort of a subset of a more general program that ESSAC has been thinking about for some time that has to do with migrating away from the current WHO is protocol and services based on a very, very limited and constrained protocol to something that would be based on perhaps a much richer set of protocols and services defined by the IETF in the form of the IRIS, CRISP, and DREG standards. There are three reference documents that I've enumerated here that all encourage ICANN to consider a successor to WHO is. And one of the main motivations of doing this is to improve the availability and the accuracy of domain registration data. But there are also a very, very large number of additional services that could be offered in the forms of authentication, auditing, access controls that would be available for the community to use when policy when the policy development process determined that those tools would be appropriate and that that requirements would be would pass a consensus process. So when we began studying this, one of the things that we realized was that before sort of beginning to enumerate requirements for this successor to WHO is, it might be very useful to take stock of the kind of data we need to collect and store in terms of registration data, so that we actually will have the data available to support any additional and future services that the policy and development process concludes are necessary and required. That concludes the presentation. Thank you all very much for your patience in some of the technical difficulties. I'm very happy to stay online and answer questions for as long as any of you are interested. I know it's very late for some of you, and I truly appreciate that you thought well enough of this presentation to stay up late and participate.
This is Julie Headland. Please, if you have a question, just a reminder to state your name. If we have many, many people who have questions, which is wonderful, we'll be happy to start a queue, and I can put your names in a queue, and we can make sure we address all your questions. Thank you. Please, if anyone has a question, please go ahead and state your name and ask your question. Please remember when asking the question to take your phone off mute so that we can hear you.
I actually would like to ask ask of any of the people in the room, in the Adobe Connect room, so to speak, have contacts in CCTLDs or know of current practices regarding who is display and usage conventions. If you would contact me by email, or you could call me on the phone, that's fine. But my contact information is on the ICANN website, and we can share it after the meeting. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get any additional feedback so that we can, we can go into this whole meeting with as much information as we can glean from CCTLD operators in advance.
Are there any questions from the audience? There are no questions, and we can conclude this meeting, but I will ask one more time. Please, any questions before we conclude the presentation? I am not hearing any questions, so I would like to thank you very much, Dave, for your excellent presentation, and also extend my apologies to everyone for the technical difficulties. I hope that you have all found this to be a useful presentation, and please do take up Dave on his offer to contact him. And I see that Tim Ruiz, do you have a question? Tim, I saw that you raised your hand. I'm not hearing the question.
I'm mute, Julie.
Okay. I see that Tim is asking where the presentation will be available.
I'm sorry, yes.
Oh, thank you very much, Tim. Yes, Dave, we will be posting this.
Yeah, we're going to post it on the ESSAC webpage, and with any luck, since it's already converted to PDF for the Adobe conference, we will be able to provide the hyperlink within 24 hours. Certainly, if you want it faster than that, you're welcome to send me email, and I will be happy to send you a copy.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you.
Are there other questions? If there are no more questions, then thank you all very, very much for joining us. I hope that you found this to be useful. As Dave mentioned, we'll be posting the presentation, and also, you may contact him separately with questions or information as well. Thank you very much, and I believe that the call is concluded.
Thank you.
Thank you all again. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Thanks.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.